Thanks for watching my Christmas cookie tutorial. For more easy cookie decorating, please subscribe to my
Oh, man, babe, these look so good.
I wasn't sure that I could pull it off, but go ahead, try one.
Oh, no, that's okay.
No, I want you to have the first bite. Come on. Merry Christmas Day. So good. I nailed it.
This is so good. No, don't do it. Oh. Babe.
Are they all in there?
It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be okay. Oh. We can scrape off the icing. Slice and bake! I got some slice and bake!
They're just cookies.
If we keep quiet, he'll go away.
It's your mother. I know you're in there. I smell food.
Who needs Christmas, eh? Welcome to church again, everybody. It's so good to see all of you here. If this is your first time coming to our church, you are a special guest. And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, if you don't have any church home, we want to invite you to join our church family and meet here every Sunday, 9 and 11 o'clock. Our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. We believe there's nobody perfect in this world. And we gather here every week to celebrate God's goodness, God's grace, God's forgiveness in our lives. And that grace and forgiveness is made available to any one of you who wants it. So please, you don't even have to be a Christian to join our church. Just come every Sunday and let's journey together in our journey of faith. I want to welcome also our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in. Well, we are in the second week of our series, Who Needs Christmas? And this will be the last of our series because next week, as John has already announced, we're going to have Christmas Eve at the Rocks on the 24th of December. And for the first time, we're not going to have our regular 9 and 11 o'clock services. Instead, we're going to join together as a church family and gather here at 7:30 p.m. And you can imagine, if you look around you, this place is about 80-90% full. And we had a service earlier at 9 o'clock, so it's going to be packed. It's going to be jam-packed, but don't worry. We're going to make sure we provide enough space for every single one of you, so please invite your family and friends to come. It's going to be a one-hour service, and it's going to be followed by supper as well. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to make sure we sing Silent Night. I think we're going to sing Silent Night. That's the reason why we do it in the evening, because it's not funny to sing Silent Night in the morning, is it? So that's that. But right now, we want to conclude our series, Who Needs Christmas? Before we begin, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you so much in the busyness of this season. Lord, remind us of why we are here. Lord, you are really the reason for this season. And thank you, Lord, for being here in our midst even right now. Lord, we don't deserve it, but you are here. And thank you, Lord, that you are willing to speak to us. I pray that you use me as your servant to speak to everybody here, including myself, because we need to hear from you. May your word encourage us and motivate us to continue to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Who needs Christmas? Well, we are a very unique human being. When we are excited about something, when you have some good news, you are wired to tell people about it. When something good happens to you, you just want to spread the word to the people around you. It doesn't matter what it is. If you had a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend, you want the world to know about it. If you just had a baby, maybe your first child, you know, you can't wait to tell the whole world about it and show them your baby pictures, right? For those of you who know us, in the first 10 years of our marriage, we couldn't have any kid, any baby. So we really, really, really hated it when people came to us and showed us their baby photos. As far as we're concerned, they all look like an alien anyway. So I don't understand why they showed us these pictures. And Hulda and I made a promise, all right? When we had a child of our own, let us not, you know, make people go through the suffering of having to look at our baby photos and have to say something nice about our baby photos. Let's not show any of our baby pictures to anybody. Shall we agree on that? And Maury said, yeah, let's agree on that. And then Jaden was born, and everything changed, right? Because Jaden didn't look like an alien. So we just had to show his photos to the people around us, even strangers. Hey, look at my son. That's what we do. You know, we are wired to tell good news. That's what we do. It doesn't matter how small. Maybe you just found a good restaurant. You can't wait to tell your friends about this restaurant. Maybe you just watched a good movie. You wanted to tell your friend about this movie. Hey, you got to go and watch Thor. It's the greatest movie of all time. So that's who we are. We are just good news bearers. Now, sometimes you would watch like a YouTube clip, for example, right? And you click like and then you share it to your friends. That's what we do. How many of you have seen this YouTube clip called Charlie Bit My Finger? Raise your hand. How many of you? I want to see it. Oh, surprisingly, very few of you. Well, you're in for a treat because this morning, this is the reason why you came to church. I'm going to show you this awesome video clip that had gone viral for the past 10 years called Charlie Bit My Finger. Let's enjoy this.
Charlie bit me. Charlie bit me. And that really hurt, Charlie, and it's still hurting.
We can't help it. That's who we are. You know, so many people have shared that YouTube clip because all of us are good news teller. We are spread the word kind of people. We just can't help it. It's built in inside every single one of us. And with that in mind, I want to show you what happened in that very first Christmas, what happened to a group of shepherds when they first heard the news from an angel about this coming Messiah. This is what happened. After seeing Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. They told everyone what had happened. To use today's language, the shepherds click like, subscribe, and share this good news about Jesus. And that's who they were, right? They were just shepherds up until that point, but all of a sudden, they had this news. All of a sudden, they had this great news. All of a sudden, they had this mission, and they just had to tell others about it. They were shepherds, but they were becoming life changers. They were not just shepherds anymore. Now, they can call themselves life changers. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, especially if you call this place your church home, I want to encourage you to be a life changer. That's what God wants you to be. You were not saved from your sins just so that you could go to heaven, not just so that you could have eternal life, but God wants you to be a life changer. That's God's plan for your life and mine. You know why? Because, let me tell you why. Because the world needed Christmas. The world needed Christmas. I'm going to tell you why in a minute, especially if you're not a Christian. You wonder, what is the reason for Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas in the first place? I'm going to explain this to you in a minute. But before we do, I want to go back to that very first story of Christmas, which was recorded in one of the four biographies about Jesus. It was recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Right? If you're not a Christian and you're new to Bible study and everything, I want to encourage you to start reading the Gospel of Luke, even if you're very skeptical, because Luke, he was both a scientist and a historian. He was actually in medical profession. And this is what Luke wrote. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Let me stop right there and tell you this is the reason why I really believe in the story of Christmas. If you're wondering if the story of Christmas is historical, the reason why, because people don't have a very sophisticated calendaring system at the time. In order for you to know that, you know, I'm telling you the truth, usually you put date markers everywhere to tell you that this event really happened. See, you don't have to believe in the Bible. You simply go to the public library and you read any historical books that describe the Roman Empire at the time, and you see if there was such a person called Caesar Augustus. See if there was a person called Quirinius, for example. And you would know that the story of Jesus was a historical story that really, really happened. You see, Christian faith is not just a leap in the dark. Christian faith has a strong foundation in history and everything as well. So you could have assurance that what the Bible is telling you is actually the truth, right? So then Joseph went to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So we will continue the story, all right? Before we do. Caesar Augustus, how could he do this? He was a very powerful, powerful man, all right? Can you imagine? One person could issue a decree for the whole world to give money, and the whole money would go to him. Can you imagine that? You know how that was possible? Because Caesar Augustus was the most powerful man on earth at the time. If you had been alive at the time and you ask anyone, hey, is there anyone who is more powerful than Caesar Augustus, the emperor, the ruler of the vast Roman Empire? And everybody would say, no, there's nobody more powerful than Caesar Augustus. Are you kidding me? He is the most powerful man on earth. In fact, he was so powerful, he was regarded as a deity. In fact, he considered himself a god. You know, we Christians use this term, savior of the world, and we give that description to Jesus. But do you know that the term savior of the world is the term that the Caesar took for himself? Do you know that? That term, savior of the world, is not unique to Christianity. If you don't believe me, I'm going to show you an ancient inscription that talks about this. For example, this one. It says, Augustus Caesar is being sent to us and to our descendants as what? As a savior. And he has put an end to war and has set all things in order. And everyone would believe that because of the Roman Empire, the road system is being done, Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, you know. Caesar Augustus believed that he was a deity and he is actually the savior of the whole world. In fact, in another ancient inscription, it says that at the birth of Caesar, the birth of Caesar actually marks the beginning of good news. Euangelion. That's the Greek word for it. You know, we use good news all the time to describe Jesus. If you open your Bible, you will find good news everywhere. But do you know, again, like savior of the world is not unique to Jesus, good news is also not unique to Jesus. Good news is actually described as the beginning of the birth of Caesar. When Caesar was born, that's the beginning of good news. Caesar was very, very powerful. All right? So this is what Luke wrote. He could do this. He could issue a decree and everybody would follow it. All right? This will become important later, but let's continue the story first. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, that night there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were scared. And then this is what happened. But the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Why? Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, let me stop right there and do a bit of, you know, sidetrack, okay? The term, the Messiah. Do you know that the term Messiah is actually a Hebrew term? It is actually a Hebrew word, and the Greek equivalent of the Messiah is the Greek word what? Anybody? What is the translation of the word Messiah? Christ, that's right. See, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It wasn't like Mary and Joseph Christ with their son Jesus. It wasn't like that, all right? There was no James Christ. Christ is not their last name, but Christ means the Messiah, the Savior. That's what the term Christ means. Earlier, the angel actually appeared to Joseph first in a dream, all right? For Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary, his fiancée, as his wife. And this is what the angel said. She, that is Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. While we're on the subject of name, do you know that Jesus is actually a Latin word for the real name of Jesus? Do you know that Jesus is a Latin term for the Greek word for the Hebrew name Yeshua, which is the real name of Jesus? That is the real name of Jesus, Yeshua. That's why from time to time, you probably meet a Christian, you think they're just showing off. They didn't say Jesus, they said Yeshua. And you said, God bless you. They said, no, I'm not sneezing. That's the real name of Jesus, Yeshua. That's his real name. And it's true, because in the Greek language and the Hebrew language, you don't have the letter J, you only have Ye. That's Yeshua. That's the real name of Jesus. That's why, you know, maybe up until this point, God has not answered your prayer because you have been calling his son's name wrong all this time. Just kidding. But it's okay, actually. It's not really important. You know, you can use the Latin translation of Jesus' name. We're not about to change all our songs from Jesus to Yeshua. It's going to be awkward because Jesus is nice. Two syllables. Jesus. Yeshua. You know, that's difficult. Yeshua loves me. This I know. Oh, it's going to be awkward. So don't do that. Stick with the name Jesus. Because the name Jesus is actually a derivation from Yeshua. Or we also know it as Joshua. See, Joshua is a warrior, right? And when the angel proclaimed to the people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they were expecting a Joshua. They didn't want another lawgiver. They didn't want another Moses, right? They have enough laws as it was. But they wanted a Joshua, someone, a warrior king, someone who could liberate them from the oppressors. They were excited about this Joshua because they thought this Yeshua, this new Yeshua, will deliver them from the oppression of Rome. But no, they were wrong. Guess what? The angel said, no, this Jesus will save his people, not from Rome. This Jesus will save them from their sins. That's why the world needed Christmas. What we needed more than anything else in this world. You know, I know some of us have a lot of problems, a lot of troubles in our world, a lot of challenges, sickness, you know, financial worries and everything else. And I'm sure God cares about all that. I'm not saying that God doesn't care about all that. But do you know your deepest need, my deepest need is liberation, not from financial worries alone, not from relationship worries alone, but our deepest need is liberation from the oppression of our sin. That's our biggest problem. God knew this all along. Ever since the Garden of Eden, God knew this was going to be our biggest trouble. And in Psalm 14, David said this, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. But guess what? Unfortunately, none. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. And just in case you think David is exaggerating, because after all, this is a psalm, no, he was not exaggerating. There is no one who does good, not even one. Are you serious, Daniel? Not even one is good? I know, I have a friend, he's really, really good. You know, I know this person, man, I mean, he is awesome, and a model citizen, a model husband and everything. How can you say there is no one good? Not even one. I don't think God is saying that you are as bad as you can be. I don't think that is what God is saying. It's not that human being is as bad as they can be, but what God is saying through David is this, that sin has affected every single one of us. Sin has affected every part of our life. Doesn't matter what it is, education, science, politics. Sin has tainted every part of our life. That's why the biggest problem that we have in this world, the reason why we have sickness, the reason why we have wars, the reason why we have injustice, you know, in this world is because of this one huge problem that we have that we cannot solve on our own, and that is our sin problem. That's why God said, I'm not going to wait for you to come to me. I'm not going to wait for you to solve the problem because I know you can't solve the problem. So God came down as a human being. We saw this in the first week of this series, who needed Christmas. God needed Christmas because God needed to show you what he's like, that despite the broken relationship that we have with him because of sin, God still wanted this relationship with us. God still wanted us to spend eternity with him, but the sin problem had to be solved first. That's why our biggest need of all is the need for a Savior, the need for a Messiah. That's why salvation, eternal life, is not something that you can work for. It's not something that we deserve. Salvation is nothing but a free gift from God because of his grace alone that we receive by faith. If you are new to Christianity, let me tell you, Christianity is not a bunch of rules. Christianity is about this faith, this belief in God, that God has done everything for us through Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. What we need to do is just put our faith and our trust in him. That's why the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people, righteous, unrighteous, doesn't matter, religious, non-religious, Christians or not. This good news is for all people. Why? Because not because Caesar is being born. Remember, I told you that good news is not just a unique term for Jesus. Savior of the world is not just a unique term for Jesus. Maybe the people at the time were expecting, is another Caesar being born? No. Verse 11 is the reason for the good news. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Caesar is great. Caesar is powerful. But Caesar is not Jesus. Caesar cannot save you from your sins. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought to myself, who are some people in our time who are very powerful that we can compare Jesus to? All right? Then I thought of a few names. The first one is this, Bill Gates. What a powerful person Bill Gates is. In case you don't know, I checked the net last night. His 2017 net worth is $90.2 billion. All right. In fact, people projected at this rate in 25 years, Bill Gates will be the first trillionaire. Not billionaire, trillionaire. Can you imagine? His 2013 income, because I couldn't find the latest statistics, his 2013 income is $11.5 billion a year, that year. That equates to $33.3 million a day or $1.38 million per hour. You know what that means? What that means is this. If Bill Gates came to our 11 o'clock service, right, and we finished our service by 12:15, he would have earned $1.5 million while sitting in a service. Can you imagine? Don't tell me Bill Gates is not powerful. He is very powerful. He had this foundation that helped a lot of people. He literally gave away billions and billions of dollars to the point that his name actually dropped out of the top 10 richest people for a period, but then he went back up and become number one again. He was very powerful. But Bill Gates is not Jesus. He can't save anybody. Let me give you another name. Oprah. She's also very powerful. Without Oprah, you wouldn't have Dr. Phil. You wouldn't have Dr. Oz. If you write a book and Oprah reviews it, your book will surely be in the bestsellers list for sure. Right? Oprah recently bought a stock in Weight Watchers. Guess what? The stock went up 105% in less than 24 hours. Oprah is very powerful. But Oprah is not Jesus. She can't save anybody. Let me tell you another name who is powerful. Steph Curry. Man, this guy, two-time NBA champion, an MVP, a scoring champion. He literally changed the game. And in one game, he scored 28 points in one quarter. 24 consecutive points. Can you imagine? Steph Curry single-handedly changed the whole NBA game with his three-pointers because he stepped back so far out. You know, his three-pointers is so amazing. Jesus wishes he could shoot 3 points like Steph Curry, let me tell you. But Steph Curry is not Jesus. He can't save anybody. Last name, Taylor Swift. She's very powerful. If you date Taylor Swift and then you break up with her, she will write a song about you and the whole world will know what a piece of scum you are. That's how powerful Taylor Swift really is, right? Amazing. But Taylor Swift can't save anybody because there's only one name under heaven and on earth that can save people, and that is the name Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus can do. Jesus is the only one who can answer your prayer. Jesus is the only one who died for you, who was resurrected from the dead. Jesus was the only one who could make his home in your heart. Jesus was the only one who can give you direction for your life. Jesus is the only one who can give you hope after the grave. Jesus was the one who was born in a manger, died on the cross, and was resurrected because he changed people's lives for eternity. And 2,000 years later, Jesus is still changing lives today. There's nobody like Jesus Christ, right? Nobody like Jesus Christ. He is so powerful. That's why we needed him. The world needed him. We didn't need just another financial advisor. We didn't need just another medical doctor. I mean, Jesus healed and he does everything, I know. But Jesus came to this world for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to save you and me from our sins. That's why the good news about Jesus is worth telling. It's worth telling. Let me tell you. The shepherds, when they met Jesus, they told everyone what had happened. They were just shepherds at the time. But no, after they heard the good news, they became life changers. And that's what I said. That's the desire of God for every one of you who call yourself a Christ follower. Maybe you're saying, but Daniel, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how I can relay this good news to people. You know why God chose the shepherds to be the first people who heard about the good news? You know, we have this romanticized idea about the shepherds. You know, they were humble. They were people of integrity. No, you didn't know it. But the shepherds were despised at the time. You know, they have the Jewish people, they have a list of jobs, a list of occupation that they despise. Tax collector is definitely the top of the list, but guess what? Shepherds is on that list as well. Do you know that if you're a shepherd, you cannot testify in the court of law? Do you know that? Can you imagine this? This is another reason why I believe the story of the Bible, the story of Jesus' birth is true. Because if you want to make this up, right, you wouldn't choose shepherds as your witnesses. You would choose somebody, some other people who are more powerful than the shepherds, right? But because this was what actually happened, they just wrote what actually happened, the good news were first given to the shepherds. You know why? Because God, I believe, wanted to tell you and me now, 2,000 years later, that if God could use the shepherds, God could use any one of you as well. That's what it means, right? Because it's not up to the messenger. It's not how articulate you are. It's not how perfect your life is. Maybe you think, but my life is not perfect. You know, I'm still sin. No, you just have to be you. You just have to be genuine. It's not up to you, the messenger, but it's up to the message, which is Jesus Christ came to save the world from their sin. That's what is important. You know, I read the statistics in our city. This is where we are as a church. This is the latest statistics. There are 93,600 people in the city of Canning. And if McCrindle is right in his research, McCrindle said there are less than 8% of Aussies that go to church. And the definition of going to church is once a month, not once a week. Less than 8%. What that means is more than 80,000 of the people who live in our community, they don't know about Jesus. They don't know about God. Maybe they had an idea about God, but maybe the idea about God is wrong. Maybe they think God is this judge who just can't wait to punish them. They don't know about the good news. You know, some of us Christians, we heard the statistics like this, and we become numb, you know. Until we realize that this is not just numbers. Maybe this is your father. Maybe this is your son. Maybe this is your daughter. Every single one of that numbers is somebody's daughter, somebody's son. More importantly, somebody for whom Jesus Christ died. Are we happy just to gather here every week to celebrate God's goodness, God's forgiveness in our lives, while our friends, our relatives, our family members are headed for a Christless eternity because they don't know this good news? They celebrate Christmas, but for the wrong reason. Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? Let me tell you who's not okay with that. God is not okay with that. I mean, God is happy to see you here, I bet. He's pleased. You know, just like a father, when their children come to their house, man, any father would be thrilled, would be happy. So don't miss church. Keep coming here. But let me tell you, God is not happy with just us being here while the whole world is still dying out there. Right? This is the reason why our church exists. This has been our mission all along. Intentionally, we don't want to be a church that is just like a holy club. Intentionally, we want it to be a church that the unchurched people love to attend, because less and less people now wanted to attend church, which shouldn't be, because the very same people, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners, the very same people that were despised by the temple at the time, they flock to be around Jesus. They love to hear from Jesus. They were nothing like Jesus, but Jesus loved them. Even though Jesus was nothing like them. They didn't see any condemnation in Jesus' eyes. All they saw is just love and acceptance. And that's what we needed to proclaim to the people around us. That's why we exist as a church. That's why some of us give our hard-earned money to this church. You know why? Because we're not just giving to the building. We're not just giving so that we can gather here comfortably. No, because we believe in the mission of our church, that we need to spread this good news of salvation to the people in our community. That's why some of us serve really, really hard. Practice really, really hard. Prepare lessons for our children, you know. Came early Sunday morning, 2 hours earlier before you even woke up probably. And stay back later. A couple of hours later to clean up, to do whatever. Why? Because we believe in the mission of our church. So I want to encourage you. Next week is December 24th. Yeah? December 24th. This is the best time in the year for you to invite your friends to come to church. You know, I've been thinking and praying about this so hard. You know, I'm preparing as clear a gospel message as I know how, all right? So that your friends, your family members who will come on December 24th, they will have an encounter with God. That's what we're praying for, that they will have an encounter with God, you know? I don't want you to say this on December 24th, oh, I wish so-and-so is here to hear about this. I wish my dad, I wish my friend is here. No, don't wish that. From now on, pick up the phone, okay? Send a message, whatever you need to do, and tell them, hey, would you come with me at 7:30 to my church? It's only going to be for 1 hour, and we're going to have supper afterwards. I'll pick you up, or something like that. Ask God to put a name in your mind right now. Who can I invite to come to church? Because Jesus came, not just for you and me. He came for your friend. He came for your dad. He came for your mom. He came for your sister. He came for everybody in this world. That's why it's called Good News for Everyone. All right? And make sure it is good news. Because sometimes Christians, you know, instead of becoming the bearer of good news, we become the bearer of bad news. People come to you and say, hey, happy holiday. And we say, don't take Christ out of Christmas. Do you know that Christ is the reason for the season? And then people say, what? What's going on? If people say to you, happy holiday, just say, hey, happy holiday, man. I hope you enjoy your time with your family. It's good to see you here. Are you going anywhere for Christmas? No, I'm just staying here. Hey, why not come to my church on December 24th? That's how you become the bearer of good news. Don't lord it over people. Don't Bible bash them. All right? There's a time. There's a time for all that. But mostly, unfortunately, today, you know, the world that we live in is no longer a Christian world. I don't know if you realize that. You can't just force it on people. We need to become the bearer of good news. Okay? So right now, why don't you just bow your head? We're going to pray together. I'm going to give you some time to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and possibly bring to mind someone that you can invite to church on December 24th. But not just on December 24th. All throughout the year, our church is designed so that every Sunday is a perfect Sunday for you to invite your friends to come. The shepherds were chosen by God to be the first bearer of good news. And guys, now it's you, now it's me. It's not the shepherds anymore. So I'm asking you, because this is part of the mission of our church. This is our time. This is our day. This is our church. This is where we live. Will you spread the word? Will you be a life changer? I don't want this coming Christmas Eve to be just a warm, fuzzy, religious experience for people. I'm praying around this. This year, Christmas Eve can be a great service for all of us. Because this is going to be the service where people will come to know Jesus as their Savior. So I want to give you this little challenge. This Christmas Eve, ask yourself, who can you invite to come to church? The people in our community, they don't know God, they don't know Jesus. Most of them have no community of faith. So it is up to us. It is up to us to be Jesus for them. We are to be Jesus' hands and feet so that the world will know that God came in the flesh, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Father, this morning we just want to give you praise for the reminder that we heard. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for giving us the free gift of eternal life. And Father, if there's anyone here who has not yet received this free gift of eternal life, I pray that you help them to open their hearts so that they too will come to a place where they believe that you are not against them, but you are for them. That you send your Son not to condemn them, but to save them from their sins. That if they only put their faith in you, they will not die, but they will have eternal life. And Father, help all of us as followers of Jesus Christ for us not to be happy just to gather here every week with our family, having a wonderful gathering. But help us, Lord, like the shepherds, to be the good news bearer. If people share about Charlie bit my finger, who changed nobody's lives, give us the courage, Lord, to step outside of our comfort zone and share the good news of Jesus Christ that is life-changing. Give us the courage, give us the boldness, we pray. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. Amen. Why don't you stand on your feet right now? It is a custom in our church to be released by receiving God's blessing. If you are new to our church, Don't go home right away. We have a new guest lounge on the foyer on my right to your left. And if you need any prayer for whatever reason, please come forward. Maybe you wanted to know about Jesus. Maybe you want to pray for something else. Come forward. Our prayer leaders would love to pray for you and with you. All right? So now let's go and receive God's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you wherever you go. May God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you through and through. May God bless your work, your business, your study. May God bless your children, your family. May God bless your ministry, everything that you do, so that through you, people around you will be blessed. They will know Jesus as their Savior. God's name will be glorified now and forevermore. All God's people who are blessed, say together with me, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful week.